السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم. I don't have much time, so I'm going to go rapidly into the topic, and I'll beg you to try and follow. First, what does the Quran say about the crucifixion of Isa alayhi salam? Now, there are statements scattered in many different passages of the Quran regarding this event. First, there is a reference in Surah 3, in ayah number 54 and forward, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ. They plotted, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plotted as well. He had his own plan. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. And Allah is the best of planners. This refers to an incident when Isa alayhi salam felt that people are rejecting him. They're going to make an attempt on his life. So he asked his disciples, who are going to be my helpers unto Allah? And they said, we are your helpers. So we are Muslims, so bear witness to that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, إِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا إِسَىٰ إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ وَرَافِيُكَ إِلَيَّ وَمُتَّهِرُكَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. O Jesus, we are about to gather you and raise you to myself and to purify you from those who disbelieve. Now, there seems to be a reference here to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking Isa alayhi salam from the earth and raising him up to the heavens. And Allah mentions something here particularly, that he is, by doing this, purifying Isa alayhi salam, cleansing him from those who disbelieve. Now think about that for a moment, and we'll come back to explain what that could mean. In Surah Maida, in ayah number 110, we read about Isa alayhi salam being questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about what he preached to people. And then in verse number 117 in that surah, Isa alayhi salam says, فَلَمَّا تَوَفَّيْتَنِي كُنْتَ أَنْتَ الرَّقِيبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. But when you took me up, when you called me back, when you recalled me, you then were the watchers, were the watcher over the people, that is, over the followers of Isa alayhi salam. In other words, Isa alayhi salam says, you know, as long as I was among them, I was a witness over them. So I could, you know, you could ask me about what they were saying. But after you took me up, now you are the watcher over them. So he gives the responsibility back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here again is a reference to Isa alayhi salam being taken up. Now the term being used in both of these surahs, Surah 3 and Surah 5, إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ or تَوَفَّيْتَنِي, come from an Arabic verb which we use to refer to people being repaid for what they do. وَوُفِّيَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ, for example. Every soul will be repaid for what he does. Here we have a variation of that verb, تَوَفَّى, which could mean settling a debt, bringing an agreement to a conclusion, completing a period of something. So some of the ancient commentators on the Quran said that what is meant here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completing the term of Isa alayhi salam. Or it could also mean gathering up, as in the sense of somebody taking the reward at the end of a bargain, or someone taking the sum of money that is owed at the end of a debt, or a debt that is repaid. So they said here it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is gathering up Isa alayhi salam and raising him to himself. This is a commentary, it is an interpretation. One cannot insist on that interpretation, but nevertheless it is a viable interpretation, and we will see how this fits nicely with what I have to present today. Now, if Isa alayhi salam has been raised up, then will he be coming again? There is no clear reference in the Quran that Isa alayhi salam is coming again, but there are a couple of passages which commentators have used with this meaning. One is in Surah Zukhruf, in Surah 43, in ayah number 61, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمُ لِسَاءَ. And surely he is a sign of the hour, or a knowledge of the hour. They say this refers to Isa alayhi salam, and the fact that he's a sign of the hour means that when he comes back, when he descends again, that will be an indication that the day of judgment is now approaching very close. The other passage is in Surah 4, in ayah number 159, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ. And there is none of the people of the book except that will believe in him before his death. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ شَهِيدًا. And on the day of judgment, he will be a witness over them. Now this passage is not easy to translate and not easy to explain. But some commentators have said that this passage is saying that Isa alayhi salam will be a witness over each person of the book on the day of judgment. In other words, he'll witness against the Jews, saying that he did deliver the message to them. And he'll witness against the Christians, saying that he did give them the right message, but they, of course, distorted it after him. So he will be a witness over them. But whose death is referred to in this ayah? There is none of the people of the book except that will believe in him before his death. Whose death? The death of each person of the book, or the death of Isa alayhi salam? In the Arabic construction, this is not entirely clear, but some commentators have said that this refers to the death of the person of the book, which means that before this person dies, he will be faced with the reality of the life hereafter and will actually believe properly in Isa alayhi salam, although that belief at that time will be acquired too late and will be of no use. Some other commentators have said that it means that before Isa alayhi salam dies, when he does return, each one of the people of the book at that time will believe in him. The Jews will now come to believe in him, and the Christians will now come to believe in him correctly. In other words, they will all become Muslims. Again, as you can see from these verses, the meaning is not entirely clear, and it is an interpretation that we follow if we say this way or that way. But the most common interpretation of these verses is that they are a reference to the second coming of Isa alayhi salam. Now I want to go to a very key verse that deals with our topic at hand concerning the crucifixion. This is in Surah 4 again, and they are in verses which just precede the one I just finished discussing. Starting with verse number 157. Allah says, وَقَوْلِهِمْ إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحَ إِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. And as for their saying, that is the saying of the Jews, we have killed Isa, the Messiah, son of Mary. They killed him not, nor did they crucify him, but it was made so to appear to them. Now what does that all mean? The Jews are boasting that they killed Isa alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in reply that they didn't kill him. Now, why would they boast that they killed him? That will become clear when I discuss the biblical angle on this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying they didn't kill him, nor did they crucify him. What does that mean? Some have said that it means that Isa alayhi salam was not put on the cross, but that somebody else was made to appear like him, and that somebody was put on the cross. In fact, not only some, but all of the ancient commentators have included this as the meaning of this passage. If you look at Tabari, or you look at Ibn Kathir, or you look at some of the other commentators like Ar-Razi, Al-Baydawi, and Zamakhshari, they all have this as a meaning of this passage. But who was that person? And what was the sequence of events that led to this strange occurrence? On this, the commentators differ. In fact, Tabari alone offers several different interpretations that were given by early scholars even before Tabari. So it seems that in some, the Muslim commentators are not themselves sure about what exactly happened here. But there are some statements that are traced back to Ibn Ishaq, who himself traces back to Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, that a volunteer from among the disciples of Isa alayhi salam was made to look like Jesus. He was crucified instead. And in the meantime, Isa alayhi salam was raised up through a skylight in the house into the heavens. and the one crucified was not Isa alayhi salam. But who exactly was this volunteer? Something vague is usually mentioned, like the youngest one among his disciples. But that is not agreed upon by all of the commentators. In fact, some have said that there was one disciple of Jesus who plotted with the Jews to mark off Jesus, to identify him for them, so that they could know which is the person to arrest. And when this traitor, Judas, came to identify his master, he himself was changed to look like Jesus, so that when he went into the house, in the meantime, Jesus was taken up into heaven, and he came back out not having found Jesus, but he himself looking like Jesus and sounding like Jesus. So he was mistaken for Jesus, he was arrested, he was crucified, and Jesus was in heaven. So that in brief then is the Quranic take on this. As you can see again, there is nothing 100% certain as to what is the meaning of these verses. That shouldn't trouble us, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in his glorious book about the book itself, مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ. Some of its verses are very clear. Those form the fundamentals of the book. That is the core of the book. And other verses are mutashabihat. They are unclear verses. We don't need to settle the issue of the unclear verses, because it doesn't affect how you pray or how you fast. It doesn't affect how you practice Islam, whether or not Isa alayhi salam died, or whether he is still alive in heaven, or whether he is coming next year or 50 years down the road. All of these make no difference. You still have to keep doing the same thing regardless what is the answer to all of these. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his wisdom left these things vague. There is a mystery there in some that we cannot fully penetrate. But then, let me continue. Most of the commentators have said that someone else was made to look like Isa alayhi salam. Some have said it was the one who betrayed him and tried to put him to death. He was made to look like Isa. He was put on the cross. Let me continue with the verse. The verse says, وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ لَفِي شَكٍ مِّنْ. Those who differ concerning him are in doubt concerning him. مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ. They have no knowledge concerning him. إِلَّا اتِّبَاعَ الظَّنِّ. They only follow a conjecture. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ يَقِينًا. They did not kill him for certain. بَلْ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. On the contrary, Allah raised him to himself. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. And Allah is certainly mighty and wise. So then in sum, given what most of the commentators have said about all of these verses that I've mentioned from the Quran, Isa alayhi salam was rescued by Allah, he was gathered up, he was taken up, and instead of him being crucified, someone else was made to look like him. That someone else was crucified. In the meantime, Isa alayhi salam remains alive in heaven, and there is an indication that he will be coming back before the end of all time. That much from the Quran. Now someone will come and argue with you and say, "But wait a minute, your Quran was written some 600 years after Jesus. Why should we listen to your Quran?" They say, "Look at our Gospels. They were written 20 years, 40 years, 60 years after Jesus, on whom be peace." Let's go by the Gospels. They're closer to the source. They're more authentic, more original. We should say in reply that it doesn't matter if the Quran came 600 years later or 6 million years later. Because the Quran is not the work of a man. The Quran is the word of Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who does not forget and who does not lie. So his witness is authoritative and it's accurate. So whether that came 600 years later or 6 million years later, makes no difference. It's going to be more accurate than what any human being has written. So we go by the Quran and not by the Gospels. But they would press their case further. And they would say, look, The Gospels, which are closer to Isa alayhi salam, say that he was crucified. And in fact, they would add to that that Roman and Jewish historians, people who did not have an axe to grind and did not have an interest in promoting Christianity, all confirmed that Isa alayhi salam was crucified. In fact, they go one step further to say that among modern historians of Christianity, the one fact about Jesus that is not in dispute is that Jesus was crucified under Roman rule. So now they would say to you, look, if you insist that the Quran is right, that means we have to forego everything we know from history in order to believe in your Quran. In fact, this is the case that missionaries have been pressing to Muslims for some time. Recently, in my review of the writings of the missionaries, I stumbled upon something that they admit in an indirect way that actually turns around this entire argument and closes in the argument upon their own faces. Let me explain. They are at pains to try and prove that Jesus rose from the dead. Now they need to do this because the Bible says that if Jesus did not rise from the dead, your faith is vain and everything you preach is worthless. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses number 14 and 17. Now this is what they're saying then. Since the Bible is saying, look, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the most important pillar of their belief, the cornerstone of their faith. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then the whole faith is worth nothing. So now they're at pains to prove that Jesus resurrected from the dead. One of the most important proofs they offer is an argument from the origin of Christianity. They say, look, obviously Christianity began, because it's here. It must have begun. And they're saying that Christianity would not have begun as a movement if the events concerning Jesus culminated in the crucifixion. The Christian faith could only have been born if Jesus rose from the dead. So we ask why. Suppose Jesus was crucified and then he was put in the tomb and then he was left there and his body just perished there. So you're telling me that's the end of Christianity? They say yes. So we ask why. They say, oh, you have to understand that Jesus was the Messiah that was promised in the Bible. And that Messiah who was promised in the Bible could not be defeated by his enemies. That Messiah who was promised in the Bible, he had to be a descendant of King David. He himself had to be a king. His task would have been to overthrow Roman rule and to institute the kingdom of God. He would have to bring the rule of God here upon earth. It would be God's Sharia, if I have to interpose our terms there. It would be God's rule that should take over, not human rule. So then we ask, did Jesus do this? They say, no. So isn't that a problem? They say, no problem. You see, when he comes back the second time, he will do it then. Then he will sit on the throne, then he will rule, then he will institute the kingdom of God, and he will prove himself, see, he is the Messiah. So we say, okay, we're hoping for that too. We hope that Jesus will come back and he will rule according to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then, what is the problem? Why does he have to resurrect from the dead? Well, he has to resurrect from the dead, obviously, because he has to be alive to come back a second time. Well, that's one obvious reason. But they offer as a key reason the fact that if Jesus really was the Messiah, as described in the Bible, he could not be defeated by the enemy. He had to be victorious over the enemy. He could not be killed on the cross. And so the very point that the enemy wanted to prove is that this guy is not the Messiah. If he is the Messiah, he has to sit on a throne and rule. But we're going to hang him on a cross instead. If this guy is really the Messiah, he will wear a king's crown. But we'll give him a crown of thorns instead. If this guy is really the Messiah, he should wear a kingly robe. But we'll give him a king's robe just for a moment, just to mock him. Just to laugh at him, to say, you think you're going to be Messiah, sir? Here, we'll bow down to you for a moment. You want to wear a king's robe? Here's your king's robe. Only for a moment, though. The next moment, you'll be hanging on the cross. Crucifixion was a shameful punishment. A man was put up there on the cross. He might be nailed to the cross. He might be tied to the cross. He would be crucified naked. If you see any pictures depicting Isa alayhi salam on the cross, you will see often there is a towel just hanging there in midair, covering his private region. Nothing is holding the towel, it's just the artist's imagination, just puts a towel there.